do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest-guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm John, and this is all my fault.
I'm Besha, and this is at least 45% my fault.
You know what? I mean, I guess I'm willing to claim an extra 5% of fault in this case.
You did the 700 ideas.
That's true. We're now well past the 800 mark, which is...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that... I keep coming up with new ones, is the problem. And
Weird how you do that.
Well, I find that most of them seem to be happening in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just because, like, now that I'm a parent, that's, like, one of the only times I get alone. Or, like... I don't know. Didn't somebody do a study or something where, like, when you're in places like the shower, like, you've got background processing running that is able to just kind of, like, finally give you output since you're, like, not really
Does
any of this sound familiar?
I believe it. It doesn't ring a bell, but I would absolutely believe it. I mean, it's definitely a cultural phenomenon. Like, there's a subreddit for it.
Right? Yes. I know that we might have talked about this in a past episode. I still haven't implemented any kind of solution for capturing my in-shower idea notion. But it's going to happen.
A waterproof whiteboard in the shower.
Yeah, I forgot. When we talked about it, like, whoever it was had a really good idea for it, and I don't remember what it was. I'll have to go back and listen to whichever episode that was. Who knows when...
You know,
when that will be.
I was buying a shower curtain recently, and they make shower curtains now that have pockets for all of your devices so that you can, you know, watch Game of Thrones on your iPad in the shower, which I object to because that is sacred background processing time.
Yes.
I have some concerns about, you know, cheap shower curtain cracking. And see, I don't know that it would actually solve this problem, and I'm not sure why I brought it up.
That is okay. I think perhaps it might be time for us to bring our guest in, because maybe she has some thoughts on this. I would like us to welcome my excellent friend Allison to the podcast. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Allison, for those out there who do not know you, how would you describe yourself? What's your deal?
What is my deal? No, I am an actress and a host who has been in the geeky tech world for, God, over a decade now, which is, like, scary. You know, most people probably know me because I got my start on Attack of the Show on the G4 network. And it's funny when I talk about it now because I'm like, yeah, when I started on Attack of the Show 12 years ago, I'm like, how is it that long? It doesn't feel that long at all. But I just recently was, like, pulling up some old photos from my time at G4, and I'm like, I'm a child. Like, I forget. Like, it was over a decade ago. I was a child.
It's a frightening span of time.
I know.
I had to think back to, like, when I first started doing this facial hair, which I'm pretty sure was 2007, which is over a decade ago.
Guess what? 2007 is when I started on Attack of the Show. So it's me on Attack of the Show and your facial hair. We got the same start.
Wow.
It's madness. Yeah. It's madness. But have you ever felt the need to watch a TV show or interact with any kind of media in your shower?
No. I was listening to that and I was like, "That the last thing I need is more access to my devices."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm one of the few people who I do not get on airplane Wi-Fi. Because every time I'm on a flight, it's like a perfect reason for me not to be connected to the world. I love having the excuse of, like, if I'm going cross country for the next 5 hours, I don't know what's going to happen.
Could be
anything. Care. Yeah. And I get a sort of thrill when I land and turn on my phone to be like, ooh, who's messaged me? What's happened in the world? I have no idea. You know, I can't stay that connected all the time.
I do this exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny gift you give yourself.
Yes. We are a rare breed, John. Also, I didn't realize this, but Wi-Fi on planes has gotten very expensive.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah. It's like on some flights, it's like $50. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah.
fuck that.
I was offended when that. It was 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is it even that good?
I have no idea. Like I said, I don't try it.
So, yeah, this is, we are the wrong people to ask.
Yes.
We don't know. For those of you who are tuning in now and have no idea what you've gotten yourselves into, here's what's going on with this show. Over a decade, I built up an unedited archive of ideas 800 plus strong and still growing, and now my friends get to dig through it to see if there's anything interesting, funny, or potentially lucrative in there. If you hear one and you agree it's good, take it and run. I just want credit.
And I want to cut, and I want you to say anything potentially litigious, because I think that would be fun.
Oh,
sorry. Carry on.
Fair, fair. All right.
What have you got Allison. For us?
The crappy license plate game show.
Okay. How many times have you been, like, on the road and you see a license plate, like a custom license plate in a car?
A vanity plate.
A vanity plate. There yeah. we go. Yes. That you do not understand?
Oh, The reason I chose this one is because I have a very dear friend, Hannah. We've known each other for, I think, two decades now. I think we've known each other over 20 years. And we have an ongoing, we've been doing this for at least 15 years, where when we see a license plate we don't understand, we take a picture of it and send it to the other person and be like, what is it? What do you think this is? I'm going through the texts in our photos now so I can tell you some. Like, this one
amazing.
Is RZ space 0 space N8. Like, resonate? Is it resonate?
That might be.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this yes. is what we do. We just try to guess. I mean, this one's easy. It's just stupid. It's Bone LA. I'm like, what?
Oh.
Yeah.
No, okay. All right. So, yeah. So the game show is two parts, basically, right? It's like this. Where, like, the host flashes up a picture of a crappy vanity license plate to a panel of guests who all try to guess what it is, right? That's the first part, where, like, they just see if they can do it. And if you get one right, then, you know, like, they get a point or whatever. But the second part is you bring in the person whose license plate it is. And they are then subjected to mockery by the panel.
Suitably.
Yes. I love that.
Like, what? Bone LA?
Yeah, that was one of them.
I have so many questions.
I'm hoping there's, like, an LA offshoot of the Bone Room, formerly of Oakland. Wait, didn't they move to LA?
I don't know.
Here's a good one.
I'm really trying hard here. Sorry.
This is this is all just straight across letters. S T N D A M N.
Stand a man?
Stand, or is it Stan? Dan. Duh. Like, I don't know. But who gets that plate?
Satan damn.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Or Saint I don't know.
Saint NDA of Minnesota. Yeah, I got nothing. That's so dumb.
Yep. Here's one that is for my poo.
No, wait.
Do you think that's a term of endearment?
I don't. Maybe it's the number 4 MYP000.
I swear to God, I've seen this one.
Really?
Is it a California plate?
It's a California plate. Yeah.
God.
It's on a 4Runner. It's on a Toyota 4Runner.
Yeah, there was a brief period, I don't know if it's still a thing, where you could get symbols on the license plate, right?
Really?
Usually because you support a particular fund with the purchase of the plate.
Yeah.
There was like a hand shape for like a children's charity.
There was also, yes. But there was also a heart, right?
Yeah. Oh, there was a heart. Yeah. I do remember a heart.
I saw, and I swear to God, I think it was actually a van that had a license plate that was heart shape, my hand.
Heart.
Oh, love my hand?
I don't, right? There's only one possible interpretation for that.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
So, yeah, I mean, like, the beauty, I think, of this game show concept is that both halves are rewarding to viewers for different reasons.
Yeah.
And so you get like a spread of potential, you know, of you capture the greatest possible audience that way.
I love it. I just found another great one I want to read to you guys. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
K-A-T-Z-M-E-O.
Cat's meow?
Cat's meow!
Fuck you. Not you, them.
I know.
What?
I mean, it gets there, but it's so ugly.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Then there's some good ones. I actually just came across one we sent each other. That was, it's B-A-A-A-C-O-N. Bacon. I'm into that one.
I think that it, like, I feel like that's acceptable only if you run like a butcher shop.
Oh, maybe.
Or like a, you know, like a barbecue joint, maybe, you know, where like pigs figure heavily into your life.
Oh, but, I just found one with a heart in it.
What?
Yeah, ready? Okay, it's C heart W S T K R.
C hearts whisker.
Or is the heart just supposed to look like an O and it's cow's taker? cow stalker?
I was just gonna say cow stalker too.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, oh god, we need this. We need this game show.
Or is it? Yeah. Is it like sea heart, like chart? Chart.
That's what I was. Yeah.
Chart was taker.
Chart was chart whistaker.
Chart whistaker.
I got nothing.
No idea.
Oh god! Right, like in conjunction with the DMV, you know, John Sung Productions presents. Somebody needs to come up with a snappy title for this game show, but like, god damn it, there's so too many of these dumb license
plates.
No,
I am in the middle of this epic fantasy series, and I just wrote a review on Goodreads that was everyone in this book needs slapping, and that's also how I feel about this game show. It will be the game show where everyone needs slapping.
Yeah.
Actually, that could go for a lot of the ideas that we discuss on this, come to think of it.
I'm also just shocked at how many, like, over the years that I've known my friend, literally every photo, I have easily 40 to 50 of these within our text messages.
That's good.
Yeah. Everybody bring somebody single.
This is in the category party?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know. I spent a long time during, like, yeah, I want to say in that intervening decade between, you know, growing my facial hair and where I am now, I spent a lot of that time single. And I just had this notion for, like, there should literally just be a party where everybody brings a single person. And I will note that I'm actually able to look at the spreadsheet for this episode, and I can see that I put notes in this time.
Oh.
Which doesn't happen every time. The notes just say, in combo with Sugar Shock.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
So Sugar Shock is the name that me and a buddy gave to the kind of product line of candy-infused booze.
I'm sorry about calling it a product line that it's flavor torture.
Panty infused booze?
Candy.
Oh, God. Oh, thank God. I was like, whoa, this took a turn.
Yes. Candy infused infused booze.
Okay.
Infused is the maybe the wrong, well, no, in certain cases I think it's the right word for it. But yes. And I don't know why the two of them had to be brought together for this party concept, but I guess it makes some sense because the booze is very tasty. And, you know, like, I think maybe it would at least be a good conversation starter.
I hear that. About what flavor candy booze you're drinking?
Yes. And, you know, because then you could start talking. I mean, like, because I made a bunch of different ones, and they were all good.
Oh, yeah, you sent me some.
Yes.
They were really good. They were weird colors, but they were good.
That Romulan ale was
yeah
a banger.
honestly, like, I mean, it's even better when it's paired with something like Sprite or 7 Up.
Right.
But yeah, totally. Honestly, still a big fan of the candy corn one.
Ooh. And were they all with vodka?
Oh, yes. No, that was what it was. I sent you a selection of the Skittle vodka.
They were all the Skittles. Yeah, that's what I remember.
This was back in the day when green Skittles were still lime.
What are green Skittles now?
They're green apple.
Stop!
But yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
That's offensive. It's
disgusting.
I agree.
I mean, like, they don't ever actually taste like the fruit they're supposed to taste like anyway, but I still want my green Skittles to be lime.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. I don't know, like, who... Somebody must have run numbers somewhere that indicated that... But like, I don't... Green apple candy is, like... Yeah, no. There are no words. I don't understand it on any level. And I don't know anybody who likes it.
That is so bizarre.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So that was the party concept, basically.
Yeah.
And I know. I still feel like it would be, as they say, a goer.
Is that what they say? Is that a thing that they say, John?
I believe it might be a thing that they say.
Is she a goer? Does she go?
Yes. In the Britain lands. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have a use for this party now. But
right,
you know, 10 years ago, I think it would have been great.
It's funny. The reason I chose this one is because I have a really wonderful girlfriend who tries to do this. She always tries to be like, I'm going to get my single friends all together and have like a certain party where it's like everyone knows that everyone here is available and let's see what happens. And it inevitably always ends up with like the women are all like hot and stunning and the men are like, I mean, I hate saying it, but it's like, you know, they're the ones who like are overweight and losing their
and they're
hair.
Wearing cargo shorts and hiking boots.
Yeah, it's like it never balances out right. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
But it's one of these things where it seems so good in theory.
Yeah.
And I've just never seen it work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that is shocking. I mean, well, on the one hand, it's not shocking. But on the, I mean, like, we should preface this by noting that you do live in LA.
I was literally just going to say that. I was like, I do live in a place where women, their upkeep and maintenance is far more extensive than I think the rest of the country. So it's probably a bit of an unfair of a judgment that I'm putting on it. It's just, that's been my experience.
But they would still be single. It's still, I think like that's still outlier like that. No, that is fascinating data.
Yeah.
I wonder if you tried to throw this party in different cities, if there would be patterns that would emerge.
That's interesting.
You know, I mean, maybe it varies by, you know, by social group or like.
Well, I also think the problem was that I had one friend just trying to get all her friends together. I think it's different if people go to a people who are not single go to a party and bring one single friend with them. You know what I mean? Because then you're like blending friend groups and things like that. I think that probably would have more success.
I think in my mind I had envisioned this as like the single people would all be wearing a badge of some sort or a name tag. Or like, you know,
flower over the left ear.
Yeah. Something. Some key visual indicator. or that simply like, you know, the person and their single friend would be split apart at the door.
Yeah.
And then they would just be taken to different zones of the building.
Oh gosh.
Where the non-single people could look down from like a balcony onto the party floor.
My God.
Just sort of, I don't know.
Like, like Roman ladies watching gladiators.
Okay. Moving on.
Oh, this is fitting.
What are we looking at?
We have culinary school knife classes.
I don't know why I wrote this down.
Well, it's a thing that exists.
Right. Yeah exactly.
I've actually taken some cooking classes and literally the first thing they teach you is how to hold the knives and how to chop and mince properly. But I'm just laughing because I sometimes do those meal delivery services. And like this week I got HelloFresh that like delivers all the food and then you get to make your dinner. And the prep time, it's like prep time, 10 minutes, cooking time, 30 minutes. Cool. You should have a meal in 40 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. It took me an hour and a half because I'm so bad at cutting things. Like, I'm so slow. It literally was like, cut sweet potatoes into half inch cubes. And I called my boyfriend and was like, does this mean I peel the potatoes? I don't understand. What am I doing?
That's a valid question. Why wouldn't they tell you that?
Something that's an oval into cubes. I'm very confused by this whole thing.
But that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So I probably need these classes.
It's so weird. I don't know. Okay, so here's another problem, which is that I started this archive in... I think it was in about 2007.
Ah.
A lot of things happened in 07. And so, did I not understand that was a thing that existed 12 years ago?
It's possible. Or,
I have to believe that, I must have...
Or you wanted to believe that culinary schools might offer a sort of Sub Rosa knife fighting skills class.
Ooh.
Or maybe I wanted them to, maybe I assumed that in order to take a knife class at culinary school, you had to be enrolled there with the intention of becoming a chef.
Maybe, yeah.
Whereas, they should simply just offer knife classes to everybody, regardless of whether or not you intend to work in a kitchen, just so everybody's working from the same level playing field.
It's Friday night. Come on in. Give us $100. We'll teach you how to cut things. And if you're really good, we'll take you out back and teach you how to cut.
Wow. And then it won't take an hour and a half to prep your meal.
Exactly, because you'll be ready to fillet a man or a sweet potato. Half an inch? You want 3/4 of an inch? You'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. And to be honest with you, I also get a little bit skittish from time to time. I'm fairly comfortable in the kitchen, but, I had some incidents back in the day that involved... maybe like the tip of my thumb.
Ooh.
And a knife, and the incidents that I'm not eager to repeat. So
no,
I get skittish as well, especially with potatoes. Honestly, sweet potatoes are kind of scary because they, if they're hard to cut,
which they are,
it's hard to drive the knife through them. And sometimes I feel like, honestly, butternut squash is the worst. Ugh. I think.
I had to cut the sweet potatoes first, and then it had me cut zucchini, and I was like, zucchini's a breeze. Once you get past sweet potatoes, zucchini's nothing. And then I had to cut shallots, and all I did was cry. I was like, oh.
No, yeah. did it come out good?
It was actually delicious. This is the thing. I don't cook for myself a lot, but when I do, I can tend to cook something like it tastes amazing, but it looks horrific.
Mm.
I have no plating skills, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know that feeling well.
Yeah.
I know that feeling well. I try to shoot as much as possible for meals that I can make and construct in one pot.
Oh,
and
that's so smart.
Yeah.
That's very big these days, too. What's with that, the thing that
Instapot.
The Instapot, yeah.
I have an off-brand one that I use to make rice in, and I eventually will make that transition to just using that for all the other stuff.
Yes.
But, I've got a couple of different baked risottos that are like one pot that are fantastic.
Oh, that sounds heavenly.
They taste delicious.
And you probably don't need knives.
there's a little knife work needed, but not a lot. I'll send you a recipe sometime.
Sweet.
Excellent. All right. Let's see what is...
Ah, yes. Ghostbusters sequel, where the moon is colonized by ghosts and they have to throw down.
Oh, this was that tweet.
It was
there was a tweet that was just the moon's full of ghosts. And the astronaut grabs their plasma gun and is like, I said the moon's full of ghosts. Gotta go back.
moon's haunted.
Yeah, that's moon's haunted. Moon's haunted.
I have a feeling though that I might have written this down before that tweet.
Yeah. Oh no, I believe you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it has 2016 written next to it. So.
Oh wow! It's that it does. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So here's the thing, right? Did we all watch the Ghostbusters cartoon back in the day?
Oh hells yeah! It was the best.
Do you remember, there is an episode where they have to go to an orbiting space station because the space station is being haunted by an alien ghost.
That does sound familiar.
Yeah.
It's sort of a loose Star Trek parody. Like, they've got, like, a Scottish engineer and, like, they make a... I think there's a couple of, like, old-school original series-based jokes. But the core concept is that the Ghostbusters are sent up in a space shuttle because, I mean, the alien ghosts, like...
We haven't even discovered the aliens yet, let alone the ghosts.
Yeah. Like, what a fucking concept. And they, like, they never came back to it. And, like, you could make a movie, a whole-ass movie, out of just that, where it's, like, and they're on the moon, and, yeah, I don't know, maybe they're sending, like... They're sending alien ghosts down from the moon colony that they've made. Like, I don't even know, but like, I feel like there is so much potential.
But do you think it's a little too much like the fourth Indiana Jones movie, like where Indiana Jones discovers aliens?
Oh no!
And everyone's like, "This is the worst Indiana Jones movie ever."
It was not good.
Wait, that's what happened?
Yes.
I refuse to watch it, and I'm so glad.
What was it? The Crystal Skull was.
Yeah,
like,
Crystal Skull. Yes, it was an alien skull.
Of course it was.
It was an alien.
Yeah.
God, did they unlock a UFO at the end of it? Vague memories.
You know what someone said to me? Someone said to me about the Indiana Jones movies, like in Raiders of the Lost Ark. They're like, Indiana Jones discovers that religion is real, and then everyone just moves on from it.
Yeah. I mean, and ghosts.
Yeah.
Holy ghosts.
We just sort of are like, cool, yeah, that was the arc, you know, that was the arc, great, moving on. Like, nothing changes in the human reality.
This seems fine.
Yeah. Or that's like Last Crusade too.
Oh my God, it's true.
Basically, that's all Indiana Jones does is discover that religion is real.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So yeah, I wouldn't put it past the Ghostbusters to finally discover alien ghosts.
Yeah, well, it's not even that they're discovering it. It's like the ghosts have colonized the moon, and they're causing problems. Mm. Like, there's an existing human moon base, or the ghosts take over the moon, and they start trying to take over Earth from the moon. And literally the only people who are qualified to deal with it are the fucking Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And,
it's in their name, so.
Yeah.
I remember watching that cartoon when I was little, and, like, Slimer was my favorite thing, and I was very confused when I finally watched the movies that Slimer's, like, a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because in the cartoon, he's a good guy.
Yeah, and he's just a cute little mascot.
Yeah.
And also not scary at all. And kind of, I mean, not scary, but horrifying in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is an episode of the cartoon, I want to say relatively early on, where they kind of deal with that, but I would need to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, which, I think you're right. I think it's like that. Like, Slimer escapes and they sort of learn how to tame him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly, I have a suspicion that it might actually be on Netflix.
Whoa.
Don't send me down that rabbit hole, John.
It's just, I think it used to be. It might still. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe it's on YouTube. It's almost certainly on YouTube, right? But yes, no. We need not get into it now. I think that we have time for maybe one more
reality show: Lives of the Jersey Shore Camera Crew. It's a great one because I'm from Jersey. I got excited about that one because I was like, this is probably my people.
I feel like we've done this one before, which is not an argument against doing it. But again, all I can think of is Drop Dead Gorgeous, where they're interviewing the documentary crew about how all of the beauty queens got food poisoning. And this guy is just like, beauty queens barfing because he has seen some shit.
Well, something went down on some reality show recently where one of the contestants or whoever they were following, it was on a boat. Something happened on a boat. It's funny, but it was almost terrifying. Something happened on a boat where, something attached to a rope was being pulled off the boat.
Okay.
For a purpose, but one of the camera guys realized that the thing was like caught on one of the contestants' legs and it would have pulled him like right off the boat or something like that.
God.
So the camera guy like dropped his camera and got this thing off the guy's leg and like saved this guy's life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I remember reading that somewhere just recently within the last maybe 4 or 5 months that happened.
That's a great like, see, Mom, I am doing something with my life. See, yeah. I saved this guy's life.
Well, you know, the thing specifically with the Jersey Shore is when that show came out, I watched one episode and in 30 seconds, I was like, oh, they're in Seaside, because there's only one part of the Jersey Shore that is like that. And it is Seaside Heights. Yeah, whatever. It's right on the beach, but we call it Sleaside. Because that's what you're seeing on that show. It's like, it's that drunk and debaucherous and whatever. But also, all those people who were on the show weren't actually from Jersey. They were all from like Long Island or right. Staten Island or something like that. So I would be real curious what the camera crew would think about that.
Yes, that scenario. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like a meta reality show where you get a second camera crew just to film the camera crew. And then, you just kind of like, because I honestly am super curious to know what it's like for the crews on all of these shows.
Right.
Like, they must have stories.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I feel like they need to be told, because I want to hear them. So that's what that was. And, like, it just seems like, I mean, right, Allison, you must know people who have who've been in this sphere, right?
In what fear?
In this sphere, in this, you know.
Oh,
in
like, sphere.
Who are like reality show adjacent, who, you know, would have some insight, like, right? I mean,
I have friends who, I have a buddy who's an editor on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And yeah, and I mean, he has some cool insight because, you know, the show is getting edited and airing while it is shooting. You know, that like that what we see on TV has only happened maybe like a week or two earlier. But the editors, along with the producers, clearly are in charge of creating the storylines that you follow. Mm-hmm. And it's because apparently after every week, the producers will ask the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, like, who are their top five? Right. And so then they can focus the edits on those top five. So the audience is getting the right storyline. Well, my buddy was telling me that there was one season recently. I don't even know. But like whoever the Bachelor was, like with three episodes left to go, his top five included a woman who like he had literally never named before. So this woman had barely been in the show and like no one knew anything about her. And like the editors were like going back through footage, trying to create a backstory for this woman in this one episode.
How big is that editing staff?
Oh gosh, I can only imagine. It's got to be to get through all of that footage.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend who was actually on The Bachelorette and he didn't go very far down the line, but he told me like, what they do to these poor contestants to get good TV is that if you're one of the contestants, you get put in a hotel room 3 days before shooting starts and you are not allowed to leave your hotel room. Mm-hmm. You do not have access to a phone or the internet. You are not allowed to speak to anyone. The only time you can leave your room is if you want to use the gym. And when you do that, you have to contact your PA and that PA has to walk you to the gym and wait there with you because they don't want you to cross paths with any of the other contestants. But they basically like stop you from having human contact for 3 straight days.
So that you're losing your fucking mind.
Yes. And then once they start shooting the show, you immediately leave your room. They throw them all in that limo that they all show up in, which is stocked full with booze, and the limo just drives around for 2 hours, so they all get drunk and crazy, and then they show up at the front door of the place.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how quote-unquote reality TV works.
Good God. I mean, like, did he happen to notice how many camera people there were? Like, what's the size of a crew like that?
He didn't say. My guess is kind of just knowing how those shows run is probably, I'm going to guess there's probably 6 or 7 camera guys at any given time.
Oh, God.
Yeah. When it's like the whole group of people, you know?
Yeah.
When you don't have to worry about that many people, it's probably not as big, but
just the sheer amount of footage you have to climb through.
Yeah. And that's incredible. That's probably not counting like all the static cams that they have, like cameras that are just set up shooting, you know, one wide shot or something like that.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yes. So there was was it on Lifetime? There was a fictional show.
Oh, yeah.
About the making of a reality show.
What was that called? Isn't it
Unreal?
Still on? Yes.
Is it still on?
I don't know. It might not be, but I heard good things about that show, actually.
Yeah. It seemed to me that it was kind of like more about the producers. And like, I really just want to know about the camera people. Like, what is that like?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is now time for one of us to give a terrible recommendation or showcase an idea from our guest. Allison, do you have any ideas in your head that you would like to just unburden yourself and just get out there for somebody to take and run with so that you don't have to worry about it anymore?
I've always wanted, and this is very specifically an LA thing, but we have the Hollywood Bowl here, which you can see amazing concerts and shows. It's a fantastic venue, but it's in the most inconvenient place because it's right off the 101 and Highland Boulevard, which is just like a major, both of those are just major thoroughways during rush hour. And to get stuck in Hollywood Bowl traffic during rush hour is just like the 7th level of hell. And I've always thought that I was like, I just want something on my phone. Because, you know, if you're going home, you don't always like Google Maps or Waze your way home. You know, you're like, I know exactly how to go. I'm not like concerned about traffic all the time, but I just want something on my phone that just, if it knows I'm getting close to Hollywood Bowl, it's like, no, stop. Take this other way instead. It just senses.
You would need like an AI that, that does two things. It knows what's going on at the Hollywood Bowl and it knows where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
I've long wanted something like this, especially for San Francisco. Not that I live there anymore, now that I'm across the bay in Oakland, but something that would let me know stuff like that. Like, well, hey, Folsom Street Fair is today, you know, or like, don't, you know, today is Beta Breakers, buddy. Don't leave the fucking house. Like,
stay indoors.
Yeah.
It was one of my best friends lives in New York, and it was like one of the first gorgeous days they had last week. So she's like, I'm going outside. And she said she immediately regretted it because everyone goes outside on the first night to stay. And she's like, and I'm just surrounded by the idiots who don't know how to handle themselves.
It makes like there should be everybody should designate like the nice day out for smart people.
Yes. It's not necessarily smart people. It's just like people who know how to like, you know, be normal in public.
We go. Yes. The ones who know what's going on.
Common decency people.
Yeah. Like there should be two entrances and exits at airports for people who know what's going on.
And people who haven't flown since September 11th.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, they tried doing that. That existed, I think, at LAX for a little while, where it was like experienced travelers, new travelers, or people, family traveling and stuff like that. And it still didn't. It didn't increase anything.
I would imagine everybody probably thought themselves experienced, and it just broke down immediately.
Yeah, probably.
God. I think it might be time for us to let everybody know where we can be found on the internet. For me, this is super easy, thanks to my friend Jen, who is Jennifer Marie on Twitter. You can find links to my Twitter, Instagram, and highly entertaining newsletter all in one place at flavor.country. Go there now.
Wow. That's so easy.
It is. It links to basically a Tumblr page that I made that just has links to all of the stuff. Ooh, including, I believe it also has a link to Instant Band Night 10, which I think it is possible that this recording may go up before it happens, and everybody should go. But yeah, head to flavor.country for more details.
You can can find me on Twitter as Besha.
B-E-S-H-A. It's almost as easy.
That is pretty easy. Now I feel awkward because mine's, I mean, I used to think mine was easy because it's just my name, but it's not as easy as those. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Allison Hayslip, A-L-I-S-O-N-H-A-I-S-L-I-P, and on Facebook, Allison Hayslip Official.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right on.
Gotta make it official.
If you haven't yet, go ahead and officially subscribe to the show by searching for Idea Factory Giveaway in your podcast app of choice and let John know if it doesn't pop up. If you're already there, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and or a nice review, because it would help us out a lot. If you've already done that, why not tell a friend? Tell 5.
Thanks for listening, and remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
And I want a cut.